So I'm sure most of you know by now, Pope Benedict passed away this morning, and so we keep him in our prayers. You know, he was a very influential individual for many reasons, but he's probably one of the greatest theologians of the modern era. He helped to synthesize the true and authentic teachings from Vatican II into the church today. He wrote about morality. He wrote great works on the liturgy. He wrote a series on Jesus of Nazareth. That's just a whole all sorts of different theological contributions. And when I was going through seminary, a lot of the works that we would read in seminary were written by him. And so he's going to have a long-standing effect on the formation of our seminarians and our future priests for many years to come. And the media did not like Pope Benedict very much, but for a whole generation of seminarians and priests, you know, he was our Holy Father, and we respected him dearly. And I know he was a great shepherd for the church as a whole, and so we keep him in our prayers. But as we begin the new year, what better way to start the new year than by turning to our Blessed Mother? You know, we can learn a lot from Mary, but especially in today's gospel, there's something unique about today's gospel because we get an actual insight into the inner life of Mary, into what's going on within her heart. And that's a very rare glimpse. You know, often in Scripture we hear about, you know, what people are doing, but we don't get many insights on what's going on internally. But in today's gospel, we get a window into Mary's heart. And it says that Mary kept all these things, reflecting on them in her heart. The Greek word for kept could be translated, and sometimes you'll see it translated as treasured. Because it was a word that literally meant putting your treasure in a treasury. So if you had gold or silver coins, you would keep them in a treasury. And so, you know, today, if we have a safe, we might put our treasure in that safe. Mary treasured. She kept the words within her heart. And so she was pondering and she was thinking about these events over and over and over again. And so a good question for us to ask is, what do we treasure within our own hearts? You know, what do we think about all the time? You know, sometimes people think about sports stats. You know, they know different players' batting averages or their completion percentages or the records of different teams, and they think about that a lot. You know, other people know cars. They know different engine types or different components or different modifications you can do to different vehicles, and they think about that. They research it. You know, farmers might think about ways to improve their yield, or if they get different equipment, how much more effective that might be, or what's broken on the farm and needs to be fixed. You know, teachers might think about how to teach their lessons more effectively. You know, they might be again and again thinking, you know, how can I teach this differently or in a way that'll get through more effectively to my students? And all these things are legitimate things to think about. But if we think about those things, how much more important is it for us to follow the example of Mary and to reflect upon the treasures and the essentials of our faith? Who God is, how his plan of salvation is unfolding. How much more important is it for us to reflect upon those things and to allow our minds to be transformed as we think about God's plan of salvation? You know, why did Mary do this? Why did she think about these things so much? Because she loved God above all things. Because that's where her heart was. That's what her heart was drawn to. And for us, that might be difficult at first, especially if our minds are on different on other things. It might take a lot of effort for us, and we might not find initial fruit or fulfillment by thinking about these things. But it's important for us, nevertheless, to make the effort, even if it is difficult for us mentally, to meditate upon these things, and eventually it will bear fruit, and we'll begin to love them the way that Mary did. You know, her heart was constantly drawn to her son, and that's what we should be striving for. And so, to get a little more specific, what might she have been reflecting on? Well, One of the things that she was probably reflecting upon was the holy name of Jesus. You know, that is the name that was given to him by the angel. And today, the reason why we use this gospel today is because it's 8 days since Christmas that we celebrate the feast day of Mary, the Mother of God. And that on the eighth day, that's when a child would be circumcised, and that's when they would receive their name. They didn't receive their name until the eighth day. And so today is the feast day that we celebrate when Jesus received his name. And what was the holy name of our Lord? Yeshua. The name Joshua is derived from that, or the name Jesus. And it literally means God saves. In the Old Testament, God's name was so holy that the high priest would only say the name of God one time each year. They had different other names that they would use. They would say the Lord or other things to describe God, but the high priest would only use his name one time each year on the Day of Atonement. But when we look at the name Jesus, it means God saves. And so we can see two things from this. First, it reveals to us something about the identity of Jesus Christ, who he is. And secondly, it reveals to us his mission. And so first, who he is. He had no earthly father. He is eternally begotten of the Father in heaven. And so if we think about looking at ourselves in the mirror, we see an image of ourselves. Jesus Christ is the perfect image of our Heavenly Father. And from all eternity, he proceeds from the Father. And so he has divine origin. The fact that he had no human father reveals that mystery to us. And yet he was born of Mary. He was not born in Mary like he was just placed in there, but he was born of Mary, meaning his DNA came from Mary, his human nature, his features would have come from the Blessed Virgin Mary. And so we see in him the perfect union of heaven and earth, of divinity and humanity. And it had to be that way in order for him to be our Savior, for him to save us. Because as human beings, we can't atone for sin ourselves. Sin is an offense against God. And so only God can forgive sin. It takes an infinite act, a divine act. And so to atone for sin, he had to be divine. But he also had to be human to take sin upon himself, to be one of us, and to bear the weight of our sin. And so his mission was to save us, not simply from physical slavery, not to heal us, save us from the physical ailments or to save us just from death, but more importantly, to save us from sin, which alienates us from God, so that we can be reconciled to him, so that we can be perfected and one day in the glory of heaven, see God face to face. There is no other Savior, and there's nothing more important that we can be saved from than sin. And so as we reflect upon today's feast day, the feast day of Mary, the Mother of God, I encourage us to imitate her example and to treasure these events of salvation, especially on today's feast day, the holy name of Jesus. And that will help to give us deeper insight into who it is that we come here to worship each Sunday, the one whose presence we're in, and will enable us to know more clearly what his mission is and to rejoice as we reflect upon the holy name of God and his salvation that he brings to us.